Welcome to Ask Better Questions on Purpose, a podcast where real conversations inspire deeper connection and curiosity with your hosts, AJ Bieber and Dr. Stephen Bagley. Let's dive in.
We have a beautiful guest and a dear friend of mine, Melina Tirico. She is the CEO and founder of Global Voice. And today we're going to talk about some of the services that she brings into this world through translation services. But I want her to tell you all about this. So Melina, can you share with us the problem that you solve or the mission that your company has and what it is that you're doing in the world?
Yes. First of all, AJ, thank you so much for inviting me. You are a dear friend and I admire you so much. So being here is such an honor.
Our pleasure.
Yes. Thank you. The main things of our company, what we do is connection. The language barrier is so big. So we as a company, we're a bridge. We help people communicate. Global Voice has many voices, one language, meaning that there's so many languages that we help with one voice to communicate. So it really comes down to we're the bridge for communication and having people feel heard.
That's fantastic. So can you share with us a little bit about that experience and how people find you and connect to your services as that bridge?
So we provide services nationwide through the entire country in different levels. For example, we do medical, immigration, job interviews, and so on. People can contact us through our website. People have Googled us, but we work a lot with insurance companies, with workman's compensation cases. People that have injured themselves at work and our hospitals or medical facilities, they contact us because we've been already in the field for more than 15 years now.
I didn't even know that that was something that happens with insurance companies. And of course, every business would need translation services if they're talking to people in other countries. So What is it that you've seen has been some of the biggest benefits? You talked about connection. You talked about being a bridge. How is that part of your mission?
So one of the things about me that I have in my core, I love connecting people. Something inside of me, if I've always felt the need to be of service, like, you know, community, connection. And I feel that communication is a connection. And when you help someone be heard, understood, welcome in a new language, it's not just providing a service. I feel you're making a space for them to belong. Right. So for me, communicating through, let's say, a work injury, the majority of our business comes from hospitals when people get injured at work or for physical therapy. If someone is at an office with a doctor and they're not sure what they're giving as medication, or they're not sure how to do an exercise and they have questions, when we have an interpreter present, they feel heard, they feel understood, they feel comfortable. And that's the mission of our company.
That's beautiful.
Boy, I've been in situations where I needed an interpreter. I've been hospitalized in other countries while I'm traveling as an American tourist. And, you know, I had to rely on my friends to address the questions I had or to explain my pain and then interpret it to the doctors. And because they weren't practiced in terminologies that are used in medical settings, I should have called you.
And this is why the translation part of it is so interesting and so amazing, because I even have the children, my kids, when they watch movies and then they're, you know, solving a Mission Impossible, or they're, you know, we're watching a movie and then they need a translator. They all look at me, Mom, you do this. Yes. And as much as you go through life, you realize how necessary, even in schools, when you walk in, translation. We even do sign language translators. So we send someone when someone is not able to hear or speak. We send someone that can do sign language translation. I mean, it's so important. And traveling in other countries, like you mentioned before, having someone there with you that you feel understood and you build that trust, you feel like you belong in that community. It's so important for the translating community, for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating to me because it sounds like your business is built on the immediate moment that you're needed.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And even though now with the technology, the AI, everything advancing so fast, you have now tools that you can use to have AI translate, right? But it's not the same as interpreting. So what we provide with our company is the interpretation and translation. Mm-hmm. And the difference is that interpreting is it's not the same verbatim. It's not the same word by word when you're talking to someone. In some countries, some words may mean different things in other countries. So the one-on-one personal attention that we give, even though is, you know, they have a lot of technology, it makes such a difference. Doctors want someone to be there. You know, the patient is touching mm-hmm. their knee and, oh, I don't know this part. Because a lot of the patients that we help, some of them, maybe they may not be educated. They may not know a lot of the words. So even pointing, AI can't see that, you know, something like the computer or iPad can't see. So it's not the same. So yes, the one-on-one in person, the interpreting it makes such a difference. And we are literally a phone call away.
You just brought up an incredible point because we're about to release one of our sessions where we had a nurse and a end-of-life expert come on and talk about miscarriage and stillbirth. And there's a lot of emotion when they're in the medical community that's not being discussed. And what you're saying is that, yes, you can translate words, but you can't translate the connection that you have with another human being. And if we as people have a purpose, like this nurse that we had on that had gone through a stillborn experience herself, and that's why she can step in as a nurse and serve these people so beautifully, you're telling me that her heart can't be communicated in that experience through the connection of one person to another. That's beautiful.
100%. I had so many people tell me, well, AI is going to take your business away. I know the new Meta glasses come with immediate translate. I understand, and that's great. Medical facilities, when people have lost, fell from a roof, lost fingers, they need to get a new hand, a new arm, and have lost their communication skills. So they have to relearn how to walk, talk. AI can do that. We can, as people being there, I mean, AI can do a lot of amazing things. Don't get me wrong. A lot. Sometimes if I want to answer a nice email, ChatGPT, please help me be nice. No, but things like heart to heart, especially doctors, when they see, nope, I don't want a computer. I want someone in person, because also there's that privacy, that connection, that community that you are in behind closed doors without having to have AI, someone can hack. And I mean, just the different things. This, the heart-to-heart is so important when you're serving.
Well, I've been a professional therapist, and AI will never replace the therapist, because the therapist isn't into the detail and the facts, the describing the situation. They're into understanding the intentions, into understanding the purpose that this person has, that they're struggling with and all. See, my wife and I had 12 to 14 years of working with an interpreter, doing therapy cross-culturally and in front of other people from that language base, because we broke all the rules and we were actually doing therapy, real-time therapy, to train the other people in the room how to do it in their country.
Wow. Wow.
And AI will never touch that.
100%. They will never. It's not the same. I've done also simultaneous interpreting. So it's different when you are in front of a doctor and you're doing a therapy, because when you're with the doctor takes, you know, says one or two sentences and pause. Now, what you're talking about with the, you know, when you go and you talk to people, there's simultaneous interpreting. And that's also you have to translate the emotion. When someone is out there, let's say someone is giving a positive message and they're on stage, us doing simultaneous interpreting, we have to speak as they keep going. And we have to, I remember I've done it so many times. You pace back and forth in the back and there's people connected to your voice listening. And when they scream and they go, you have to, you can't be a robot. Oh yeah, this great. No, you have to give it your all and do, I'm even in the background doing my hand motions. Because I'm a talker. AJ knows. And I'm over there doing, you know, sign language interpreters. They're doing music concerts and they're doing, yes, that's me in the back doing, like, I'm not doing sign language, but I'm talking. I talk with my hands. So just the emotion to be transferred while you're doing simultaneous or just regular interpreting too, it's just very important for everybody so they can get the point, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen my buddy work with a Spanish-speaking interpreter, and it was like they were twin brothers on stage, and they are working from one heart and one brain and two languages, and it the the buy-in to the message with the emotion, it multiplied. It was a X factor in the depth of the message that was coming across. It was fun to watch, but it was exciting to watch, and it captured your thinking at a deeper level.
Now, this is what really harkens back to what you said about being a bridge, because now you're talking about being a bridge on a multicultural level, not just a one-on-one intimate experience. And that's a whole nother level of communication, because there's culture, there's different words. So you really are a communication bridge that's much mm-hmm. deeper than even I don't think I understood until this moment. Mm.
Yes. No. And there's so many dialects too. For just an example, there's a Burmese language, right? They have 16 dialects. So it's not, there's certain regions, the South region, the North region, the East region. So we have, for example, in our database, we have interpreters, and they say, how do you find them? I found a way, I guess, networking and just my mm-hmm. persona. And I am in another life, I think I should have been an investigator, but I can find people. I know that's my other talent, hidden talent, FBI agent here. But I feel that by reaching and communicating and talking to people, and it really is an adventure. Not every Whoa. Day is the same in this business. So I love Whoa. That.
So go ahead.
How did they find you?
So I've been called a lot through Google. We have a Google and we have so many reviews. We have a lot of them throughout the years. All of them are amazing. So because we have so many interactions on Google with like everything is positive reviews from case managers, from attorneys, from doctor's office, from they find us like that. They find translating company and we're like one of the top picks. So they call me from anywhere.
I say, I know we're going to get into your backstory here soon. However,
yeah.
Oh, I think I was asking from the standpoint. Sorry, Dr. B.
No, that's okay.
I was asking from
you go first. No,
I did go first. Okay.
No, you go first.
No, you. I think I was asking from the standpoint of how did you grow with needing so many translators, because you're going to have people reaching out to you from all over. And so how quickly does that happen where you find the translator, the company reaches out to you? Like, tell us a little bit about that process.
So with the years, because we've been in business for 15 years, I already have a database of about 400 or 500 interpreters probably now. But that's been developing little by little, because when we first started, we were just focusing on Florida. We were just focusing, you know, where I'm from. So we would just focus there, and they would ask us for Portuguese, for Spanish, Creole, Arabic. So little by little, we started adding our database. Then as the company grew, companies will reach out and say, hey, we need an example, a Gujarati interpreter in Austin, Texas. And I'm like, okay, Gujarati. So I will do my research. Okay, what country speaks Gujarati? You know, things like that. So most of the time, the client is the one that asks us for the translator or the language that they're looking for. And if we have it in our database already, we call the interpreter, hey, we have a job. Can you cover? And sometimes the interpreter, because they work with us part-time, they may not be available. So there's when Melina comes in and I start searching. And I search and they give us plenty of notice, plenty of time to work on finding interpreters. So most of the people, like I can say 99.9% of the people want to help. If they don't speak the language or they're too busy, they may refer me to someone that's qualified to do the translations.
That's incredible. So Melina, here you are, a person that didn't see yourself as a connector, now has a purpose of connecting people, not only within their own, you know, village, state, globally, and it's given your purpose. Like this is so powerful.
100%. I never knew in a million years that I was caught up to be an entrepreneur, right? I always thought in my head, you know, be the home wife, go in, clock out, which there's something wrong with that. You know, I love, but I never thought that I had the courage or I had the ability to expand and to be a service of people, and that my business will connect and will help people. You know, it's not about the money. I mean, it's great. I'm lucky that this business can produce an income that I can sustain myself and the kiddos and still travel and still get what we want. You know, it's amazing. But I feel that deep down, the connection, when you do something that brings you purpose and that serves and that helps, the money comes along, and it's really, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like, it is work, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like I'm waking up for my purpose. You know, how do you work from home? I'm like, I just wake up and put my cape on and I got to communicate with people. You know, it just feels incredible to be able to be the person that, you know, the how can I say, the broker, let's say, mm-hmm. to connect and communicate. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I'm a yapper. I talk a lot.
So touching. And there's a piece to this too, Melina. It's not just your purpose. You're helping other translators that's their gift of connection have purpose. So this 100%. Is expanding it on an even bigger level, which 100%. Is so powerful. What is your website, or how do people get a hold of you directly?
Yeah. So my website, they can go to globalvoicetranslations.com. I also have a social media page. It's through Facebook, The Global Voice. And then we also have an Instagram. It's still growing. They're following, but it's little Instagram. It's
I love it.
Global Voice 01, because we're the number one company.
I love
it. We want to be. I feel that in my heart, you know?
We're cheering you on.
Yes. Thank you so much.
So, you know, we've talked to a lot of people on purpose, and many of them are very focused in on their purpose and the people that they're qualified and capable of reaching and taking care of. I'm going to tell you, you're probably the most available person that we've talked to that says, hey, I'm here to serve.
And yes.
My family gives me the support for me to do this. So I can say, I'm going to be available 24/7, and I'm going to connect them with people that can serve them around the world. And we're going to keep connecting with people. And I'm going to talk about the fact that you're a hero.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you.
So we're really clear that you were made for this. You go from, I didn't know, to I'm running a business with 400 or 500 people that I can identify and help them help more. So tell us about that backstory. How did you go and find your purpose?
Hang tight. We'll jump back into the conversation in just a moment. Do you know someone living on purpose? We'd love to hear their story. Nominate them at abqonpurpose.com. And while you're there, check out our growing library of inspiring interviews. All right, back to the story.
So it's crazy because, like I said earlier, I had no idea. I was that shy child, the very soft-spoken, not really saying much, to this business entrepreneur, business owner that I am helping change people's lives, literally. So I was born in California. Then I have a little sister. My mom and dad, they were here. They went to school here, you know, they got married, and then they came to go to college here and to give us a better life, you know, they said, and which, it, you know, they did an amazing job, but we wanted to go visit our grandparents in South America, and we ended up staying. So when we went there, I lived there for 7-8 years. I forgot English.
How old were you?
I was 6 years old, 6 or 7, yes. And so I went there for first grade. You know, here I went to kindergarten in California. And my dad will tell me, you were a translator. You will translate that with the principal. And then there were families that were coming in and like, oh, I speak both. And I'm like, wow. So from then I had a calling. I had no idea. Then we moved to Bolivia. And when I came back here to United States, I didn't speak any English. Nothing. Like I tell my kids and they laugh at me because my daughter's now in high school. I was in the ESOL classes. Like I did not speak any English. And the irony now that I am a translator, that I speak English and I help people communicate, I didn't remember. So it went like, you know, a couple months. I mean, I was young and I was able to learn. And then I started going out with someone that was American. And I'm like, I'm going to go. And I'm going to talk to him just in English with a very strong accent. And then my English started getting better. And then fast forward many years. I've always loved to be in the service business. I was a server and I loved it, every minute of it. I loved talking to people, serving. Then I worked in retail. I loved talking to people, welcoming people in the store. What can I get you? What can I help you with? Can I help you shop? You know, like use your credit card to shop. Like then I worked at the parks, at the theme parks, JJ Krakow. And I was always like, and you know, I was talking about it this weekend. I worked at Sonic too, like the restaurant when you have like the skates. And I always wanted to be around people. And even though I was soft-spoken and more like behind the scenes, I think my calling came when my daughter was born. So my daughter was born and I wanted to be at home. I didn't want to send her to daycare. I didn't want anyone to raise my child. I felt like, okay, I need to do something. So I thought about blogging. I thought about doing little things, headbands for the hair. Oh, I'm going to do bit. No. So then this fell in my lap because after I had my daughter, I was working at a call center and I was in charge of helping hire drivers to take people from, just picking them up from a nursing home to a hospital or just transportation. This is before Uber.
Yeah.
They would ask me, hey, Melina, can you hire us or can you bring a driver that speaks Creole? So there was another interpretation side. But because I started being so good at recruiting and finding people, hey, do you speak this? Let me find a driver that speaks. So they passed me to this other department, and they were all, it was like a little promotion that I went to from just, collecting data or finding drivers, dispatching, to now being like a manager and being able to recruit interpreters and recruit people. And then one day my daughter, was born, and I remember my mom would bring her to the break room and I would nurse her. I'm like, I can't do this. I went from a full-time to part-time. And then to the point that one day, without a warning, they said, you know what? It's not working out. You're fired. I've never been fired from a job. I said, you're firing me? I remember, and I was emotional. I went back home. I remember my daughter turned 6 months that day. And I went home. I cried so much. And I go, but that was the beginning. That was the beginning of my dream. So then later, I said, why don't I do this? There's a need. Why don't I become an interpreter? So I started doing it myself. I started calling a lot of the case managers, a lot of the facilities. I started running myself doing these interpretations. And then I said, well, why don't we provide transportation as well? My husband at that time, he was the one driving people and I was doing the translation. And then we started getting calls from North Carolina, Texas. I started reaching out to a lot of the case managers and I said, let's do this. We can do this. So I never got a job after that ever again. And I started, it took 2 years to break even. I almost threw the towel so many times, but I remember I had cutouts of a house, of a car when I was invoicing. And I was in the middle of the night invoicing, nursing my daughter, sending invoices at 12, 1 o'clock at night because I needed to get paid. We needed the money. And yes, and it started from there. And then from there, then my son was born. And then, there were so many life transitions and life changes for me. But the business was always my baby. I felt that the business has always been something that I poured my energy, my love. If I was stressed and frustrated, back in the business, and that helped me grow so much. I've been in covers of a magazine. I've been awarded Entrepreneur of the Year when I was in Bolivia. I mean, all these amazing things just happened, but it was all because I wanted to be at home with my daughter and I knew I needed to serve people.
And Melina, some people may not know this because they don't know you as intimately as I do, but you didn't do that with a husband. So can you share a little bit of how your journey manifested during that time? Because this really has been your baby brought to this world. And so a lot of people who may think, well, she has a supportive husband and they have a business together. And I know.
No, yes, it's completely different. So he was there, of course, at the beginning to help me out, but he had his own job. I mean, he would help me with driving here and there. But then Uber took over. So, but it was all me. Like, I don't have some people. Oh, do you have partners? No, me, myself, and I are partners. My different personalities can call it our partners. I'm just kidding. I don't have different personalities. But Really, I did it all by myself. Like everything I did, like I would go to networking events by myself. I would sometimes take my children to all events. I'm there and I would pass my card. I would go and shake hands. I would bring cookies to medical facilities. And I did all the networking. I didn't hire anybody to do it. But yes, and I did it all from scratch. When people are like, you're lucky. No, I could attest that it was not luck. It was really hard work going, talking, networking, receiving a lot of no's. Nope, we're going with another company, someone cheaper. Oh my gosh. And I'm thinking, should I reduce my rates? No, I know my worth. Our interpreters are great. So it was a lot of back and forth. And then, then also through another relationship that, wasn't that great. And I think that also the ending of that too helped me. I feel that after that, my business thrived and it grew 3 times more. I don't know if it's like, how Taylor Swift writes songs after every breakup. Me, I felt my business expanded every time I was like ended a relationship. I said, wow, maybe my business is my baby, That's what I need to focus on. But really, I think time shifting, a lot of people take it like, you have a big transition in your life and a lot of people go towards, well, I'm down. I just can't help it. I took it and like, okay, I need to get my wheels and let's go. I have 3 kids that I got to take care of. And really those big transitions in my life helped me go forward and make my company boom.
So
literally.
A lot of people, that pressure, obviously, I know, and I'm sure Dr. B knows too, in working in counseling, that sometimes that pressure can make you or break you.
100%.
So we know what you did and how you got there, but how did you process that? Because someone sitting in that position right now, what would you tell them if they were in a position of, I have to make this money and I have this purpose? And how did you come to terms with all of that?
So I don't want to get emotional, but I mean, it's flowing. But I really felt that no one was here to help me, that I had everything to do it. I had 3 babies depending on me and no one was going to come rescue me. And that was my mentality. For me, there was no choice. While others were like, okay, let's go. How come? Let's travel. Let's party. Or not really party, but let's do these things. Mm-hmm. And I was focused on work. And some people are like, oh, you're just... Some people will say, you're obsessed with money. I'm like, no, it's not the money. It's what the time can do. Like me now, I have never missed a game, an event, schooling. I volunteer at the school. I go to Bible study. I've not missed it because I work so hard. But I think what drove me to this is no one's coming to rescue, honey. You know, you are in this and you have 3 babies depending on you. And really that drove me to go sonic speed.
Yeah, I heard earlier you talked about when I get stressed, I go to business. Mm-hmm. And that, and AJ just related that stress either breaks you or you turn it into a motivation.
Yes, 100%.
And when you're motivated and you're organized, you become intentional. And when you become intentional, you line things up and people can count on you. That's called organization.
100%.
And
yes.
You figured that out, but I'm going to go way back to something you said that your parents observed when you were a kid. When you were in kindergarten, you were translating for kids and for their parents with other people as a child. It came naturally. See, and I like the fact that you said Bible study because I've been a pastor for too long, 20 years in a church setting. But my wife and I then ran a Christian counseling center for 23 years. And that's what took us to in different countries of the world. So you're a single mother with 3 kids feeling the responsibility to make, you know, your kids are going to have things because you have put in the time.
Yes. Yes.
So how did you take care of yourself so you didn't burn out while you were feeling all this stress to accomplish and succeed?
That is a powerful question, let me tell you. So for a long time, I didn't. I felt that I was not. So many things have happened in my life. I felt that I've hit rock bottom. You know, with my business, yes, it was thriving. Like I felt like, wow, everything is growing. My business, my kids are healthy, but I was losing weight. I was just, you know, very, very, I felt that I literally hit rock bottom. But then I fell in love with fitness and now I do CrossFit and I lift weights. And I feel that for me, working out for me is like my outing, but it's also a community that I belong to.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. So now on top of me doing a business, I work out, I lift these heavy weights over my head. I never did sports ever. I used to be called a stick figure when I was a little girl because I was so skinny. My little legs were like little wires through the shorts. So when couldn't even play sports. I mean, when I was playing, the ball would hit me on the head and I would be the one in the back trying to avoid the ball. Never did any sports, never did any running, never did anything until I needed to find something that was healthy that would kind of like get my strong size. So now on top of me, I'm strong. I can lift a lot of weight. Like I can bring groceries all in one, come in by my, now I have the kids. I call them. I text, hey, I'm around the corner. Oh, they all bring the groceries for me. I don't have to do that anymore because they're big enough now.
Yeah.
But I feel that has been a good outlet for me. And now that you mentioned that you're a pastor, my grandpa was a pastor for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to go on mission trips when we were younger. So that's also where my serving others came inside because of that. You know, we were always going on mission trips, always in church activities. And now another group that I have, which is amazing. I've been doing it for 4 years. They've seen my transition. They see me at my lowest. And now they're, you know, excited. I'm in a relationship now. It's like so many things are aligning. I'm feeling so blessed. I have a great group of friends, great group of Bible study ladies that love me and that I don't feel judged. They pray on me, pray for my kids. It's just beautiful. And working out has been the best thing ever. Not only am I looking better, but I'm feeling better.
And once again, you did it through connection because you found a community in your fitness center. I think if you were just in front of a mirror by yourself, would that have been a similar experience? But using this purpose is now flowing through your whole life, every aspect of it, to take care of yourself.
100%. And to be around like-minded people that, you know, moms, single moms, moms, you know, married, people that are not moms, but we're all looking to get healthy. And it's just such a great community because, you know, even when I started, I didn't lift much. I could just do the barbell, not even any weights. But everybody made me feel so, wow, you're amazing. You're powerful. I'm like, oh, really? Oh my God, I just lifted 5 pounds. But they make you feel, it's just such a community. And that's the part of translation that I love so much, that you feel heard. You feel like you belong, that even though you don't speak that language, you're not from the country, you don't know their culture because it may be different. But to be heard and seen and understood is such a big part of why I bring this to everybody else. Mm. I just love it. And it's just, and I also, in between, I started doing some, network marketing companies, multi-level marketings, because I never knew that I was a good recruiter. I was a good, you know, not even a leader, I can say, but just someone that could help and guide people to, you know, to improve, connect, and things like that. So all that helped me. Connecting.
Put your oxygen mask on first before you can help others.
Yes, that's so true. It's so true because of, yes, even as a mother, right? Like, you do have to do that. You have to nourish. And this is another thing why I do this. My kids see me work hard. My kids are thankful. Like, even yesterday I went to buy, you know, my daughter has homecoming. My daughter's going to be 17 in 6 months. I can't believe it. We went to buy homecoming shoes yesterday and she this morning. Thank you so much for buying me stuff, Mom. I appreciate it. I'm like, like those things. Like, I work hard. They see me working hard. They see me going to the gym. They see me making right decisions. Yes, they've seen me cry, but they've seen me get up. They've seen me. My kids have been the first row of everything I've been through, and they've seen Mama raise, get up all 7 times, get up 8. And they've seen. So they learn. I want them to know that. Also holding on to communities. I think that's one of the things that, you know, when you're running a business, you're doing this, don't cage yourself and don't be close. And then, it's good to hold on to communities with people that are like-minded, not someone's going to pull you to the wrong side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I wanted to do and encourage a lot of entrepreneurs when they're starting a business, right? Yeah. One of the things I do want to point out is, like, nothing great comes easy. So, you know, just, I would give advice to, you know, and it's unsolicited advice, but for anybody that's trying to start something new, whether it be a business, a getting into CrossFit or try something new, stay consistent, you know, don't give up so easy. Just because it gets hard, don't throw the towel. Everything in life is hard. You just have to just go through it. Don't make it an obstacle. Make it like a rock that you just go around it or over it. Like, don't get discouraged when things get hard. Because if I would have thrown the towel when it was really hard, I wouldn't have this business. I wouldn't be able to be with my babies all the time whenever we want to. Hey, let's go this weekend to St. Pete. Let's go. You know, things like that, because I stayed even through the hard times. So, you know, that's my thing I want to say.
Yes. And that's what Dr. Bagley doesn't know. And what was so beautiful about what you just said in terms of, you can be in a situation where you're in your purpose and your purpose is part of your business and your life is so fulfilled in so many areas, but then there's maybe one area of somebody might have a health challenge, or they might have a relationship challenge or something of that nature, and it can collapse your world so quickly. And so I was so fortunate to have met Melina during that time. And I truly believe that when she did that inner work and that healing, she just took off immediately. And I witnessed what happened to your business and how you soared. And it inspired me on so many levels because of the passion that you have to serve others, and that I was able to be there for you in that time. So talk about connecting purposes. 100%. It's so powerful.
And it's so crazy because I met AJ through the person, like literally broke me. Like when I met AJ, I was broken and I was like on like face on the floor, literally. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just, she met me at a time that I was so down and so like, but now how you say, you really, you helped me through that journey too, through my healing. I even had to leave to go to South America to heal and I did it. It was so, it's like now I pass the page. I'm like on the other side.
And I feel you, past. Woman.
Yes.
Oh, and 100%. I honor you.
Thank you so much. Thank
honor
you.
It's an honor.
Hey, everybody on our podcast cries. Come on. We've had some of the it's boys like crying better than you. Come on.
Oh God,
you're not doing it's a very true. Good job of crying here.
This is connection.
Yeah.
This is connection deep yeah. level. It was a soul connection, yeah. I swear. I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was good.
And it's a soul yeah. connection for you to be here today and share your story. So thank you.
100%.
Very
thank
much.
You so much, so, guys.
I need to throw something in.
Yeah.
You talked about if it's hard, it might be worthwhile.
Yes. 100%. Yeah.
So stick in there and keep going at it. And I'm going to tell the other side of that truth. If it's easy, it's not worth your effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's easy, it won't last because it's not about what you do. It's about building the character inside of you that really comes across to it. You couldn't accomplish what you're doing without knowing that struggle and that will to give more. To create the connection. And I'm sure that when you walk into the room and they are disconnected because of language, and after you walk in or video in or Zoom in, you leave and they're connected. They got something because you showed up, because yeah. you had put in the hard work to relate and connect, not just translate.
Yes. I feel that I become part of that emotion, that building trust, that connection. I am part of it. And with that, my job is done. Like mm-hmm. I've done what I came here to do. And I love that. It's such a great feeling. And on top of that, I'm getting paid for that. So it's like a win-win. Yes.
And your kids got taken care of. And they were a part of it because you brought them along. See, people, we have separated all of our life into boxes. And when we do that, we aren't a whole person when we're present.
Yes.
We show up and we've left a box or two of us behind.
Yes.
And people don't, and people don't trust boxes. They trust people. So good job showing up.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank
you.
Beautiful. Well, this is about that time where Melina, we ask each of us to ask a better question about what it is that we've discussed today in our conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and open this time.
And we're not going to try to answer these. We're going to leave these wide open for our listeners to, they get to answer them in their house.
Yes, we're not going to answer the question for each other. We're going to leave it open.
Okay.
So I'll start. I'll let you be in the middle and we'll have Dr. B, we'll have you finish it up.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
So in listening to our conversation today and being part of it, the question that I would ask our listener is, are there conversations that you need to have in your life where you can be more of an interpreter and seek connection from a space of non-judgment?
Wow. That's powerful because not necessarily you have to know another language. You just have to. Yes, I love that. That is amazing. Okay. Well, for me, what question can I do? I'm thinking of if you have not found your purpose, if you have not found something that drives you wild when you're doing something, what can you do to start headed or to try to find and decipher that purpose, something that you could do with passion that will drive you to wake up in speed motion in the morning? That would be my question.
You had me all the way to speed motion in the morning. That's me.
I love this. I'm having so much fun. This is amazing.
So my question, ask better questions on purpose. After listening to Melina, do you want a life like her? And if you do, are you willing to put in the work?
I know, me too. I got goosebumps. I love it because I've never thought I would be someone that people are like, I want to have a life like hers. You know, I want to do something like she's doing. Never thought that I would be on the other side where people would want to, or I would inspire people, or I want to have her attitude. Why is she smiling all the time?
Yeah, it's a great honor to make you our hero of the day, the entrepreneur that's inspired us in our podcast. And I know that there's going to be people who listen to this and go, if she can, I can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so great meeting you. This was fun. I'm ready to go to Florida.
Do it. It was an honor to meet you, Steve. Thank you so much. Thank you,
Amy. Thank you, Melina. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in to Ask Better Questions on Purpose. Join our growing community at abqonpurpose.com and share your favorite moments with a friend. Remember, get on purpose. Stay on purpose. Be on purpose. See you next time.